Our next guest on Hip Hop Week is Queen Latifah. Her first CD was released in 1989 and established her image as an Afrocentric, independent woman who didn't like the misogynistic bent of some fellow rappers. The strength that she portrayed in her music carried over to her roles on TV and in the movies. She was one of the stars of the TV series Living Single and has starred in such films as Set It Off, Bringing Down the House, Beauty Shop, and the musical Chicago, for which she received an Oscar nomination. I spoke with Queen Latifah in 1999 after the publication of her autobiography, Ladies First, in which she described herself as a young black woman from the inner city who was making it despite the odds. She wrote, "She's lived in housing projects and in fine homes, hung out with drug dealers and with presidents." Let's start with her record, Unity, which in 1994 won a Grammy, an NAACP Image Award, and a Soul Train Music Award.
Brother, call a girl a bitch or a hoe. Trying to make a sister feel low. You know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring breath to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down a block. I had my cutoff shorts on right because it was crazy hot. I walked past these dudes when they passed me. One of them felt my booty, he was nasty. Yeah. I turned around red, somebody was catching a rat. Then the little one said,
yeah, me bitch.
And laughed. Since he was with his boys, he tried to break fly. I punched him dead in his eyes, said,
who you calling a bitch?
In this rap, you talk about what you don't like about bitch and hoe kind of language. Elaborate on that for me.
You know, honestly, the record was really made in response to, at the time, there were so many records coming out with, you know, rappers calling women, you know, bitch this, hoe that. And I just thought it was like getting out of control. It was becoming a bit too much. And I'm not saying that I don't, you know, use expletives when I'm hanging out with my friends, you know, and, you know, I mean, we may say some of those things, but we say it in joking. But when it's meant to be really derogatory or to disrespect people constantly, you know, it just got to be too much. And so I felt like saying something about it, you know.
Did you feel that that language represented larger attitudes toward women in the music world or the rap world or among your friends?
Well, I feel like they represent certain, well, definitely some people use that word to apply to all women, you know. And it seems like the word, I mean, I could call a guy an MF, but it's not going to be as harsh as him calling me a bitch. It there's a difference. It sounds worse and it feels worse. You know what I mean? So I felt like, you know, it's time somebody says something about it because it's still out of control. It's still out of control, you know, but I think that that helped bring awareness to it. And the record wasn't so much about the word bitch. The record was about, the first verse is about that, you know, the respecting a woman. The second verse is about abuse, a woman being beaten by her man and finding the strength to leave. And the third verse was about young girls, like, who wanted to be tough, wanted to be gangster bees, you know what I mean? I mean, the record was really about a lot of different things, and the point of the record was unity. Let's bring it all together. Let's put all this stupid stuff to the side, and let's be together, man. Let's stop pushing each other away from each other, and let's be down with each other.
Now, the first name that you rapped under was Princess of the Posse. How did you decide on that name for yourself?
No, Latifah was my name. The Princess of the Posse was just my little title, you know? Because I was like the only girl in our crew, and Ramsey was kind of like, Ramsey and DJ Mark the 45 King were like the heads of the crew, you know, so to speak. They were like the heads of the crew, but I was I mean, I didn't go with either one of them, so I couldn't be like their girlfriends or anything like that. So I just took the little, I was like the little sister. So I took the princess title.
So what was it like being the only female in your posse?
I wasn't the only female, but I was the only female rapper. It felt good. I was, you know, I was cool with it. It was cool. We had a big old family. We had a female DJ, this girl named Ginger G. She used to DJ. So she was the female DJ. I was the female rapper. And, you know, we had a couple of other people, you know, down with us, but that was it. And it was actually a good experience for me because I got to be around guys and see how they think and what they do, and they could be natural around me. They didn't really hide anything, you know, in front of me because it wasn't like I was their girlfriend, you know. I learned a lot, and then I had, you know, I had them right there to help me practice. We all practiced around each other. We were writing, and then we would bounce the rhymes off of each other to see what the other person thought and get constructive criticism. It was almost like a school for rap. It was real good.
How did you decide what you wanted your image to be?
I kind of just wanted it to not be like anybody else that was already out. So, you know, when the record company gave me some money to go shopping to take, you know, to get clothes and stuff for my promo pictures, and I didn't have a stylist, so they basically just gave me money to go shopping. So I went and bought, you know, a couple of outfits, but then I was walking down the street downtown in Newark called Halsey Street, and I passed this African store, and I had already decided my name was Queen Latifah by this point. And then I was looking at some of the clothing, and I liked the way that the pants were made. It was like a drawstring thing. It was beautiful embroidery. I saw this fabric, and I asked the lady, could she make me a suit, basically, you know, a shirt and some pants and a hat to match, like a crown. And she said she could do it, and she hooked it up for me, and it came out real cool. So I took my first promo pictures in it, and I was barefoot in these pictures, squatting with this African suit on. And it was like, whoa, who is this? You know, my look was just automatically different from then on. Plus, I was more open-minded. I didn't have to just wear, you know, sweatsuit and a gold chain and, you know what I mean? Everybody was already wearing that. I didn't want to be like everybody else. I wanted to be an individual, so considering the fact that at that time there was a lot of pressure on South Africa to free Nelson Mandela and for companies to divest, I was really conscious at that time of what was going on in the black community and in the world, African, as an African American. So that would just fell right in line with it.
And tell me about your name, Queen Latifah. Not just Latifah, but Queen Latifah.
Well, initially the Queen was put on because I didn't want to be MC Latifah. Goes back to not wanting to be like everyone else. You know, MC Latifah didn't sound right to me. It just sounded, and everybody was MC something back in the day. So I just didn't want to be MC Latifah. I was like, man, nah, that sounds corny. And I could have just left it at, my first single just says Latifah. So I could have just been Latifah, but I felt like I needed a little prename, a little, you know, something to go before that. And so I was like writing down all of these possible, this list of possible things and bouncing them off of my friend Ramsey. And I was like, what about Queen? What about Queen Latifah? He was like, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. My mother laughed at me, but, you know.
That's her job.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, your 17-year-old daughter calls herself Queen Latifah, you're going to likely crack up a little bit.
When you started rapping, gangster rap was very popular. Did you relate to the stories of gangs and guns?
Well, we had gangs and guns, but not to the extent of that they did here in California. You know, it wasn't quite the same. You know, California has a bigger, huge culture of gangs out here. And we had like gangs, but see, gangs played out in Jersey and New York. It was no longer cool to be in a gang. So if it wasn't cool, then you didn't want to do it. But I could relate to it, but I had no idea. And everybody wanted to down gangster rap when it came out. Like people who you know, so-called gangster rap or whatever. They wanted to down it and say it was so negative and violent and misogynistic and this and that, you know. But what it was real. What it did was inform the rest of the country of what was going on out here. And that was, to me, very interesting because I had no idea what Crips and Bloods were. I had no idea that, you know, there was this subculture going on in California that we really didn't know about. So, I mean, to me, the gangs kind of, you know, the guys kind of informed you about it. The rappers, they let you know what was going on.
Your father was a cop in Newark. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering how you felt about the antagonism that was almost always expressed against cops in gangster rap.
Well, you know what? Cops here in California and cops in Newark, New Jersey are different cops. You know, you have bad cops everywhere, unfortunately. That's the reality of it all. But to me, you know, cops in New York and Jersey, it's like it's a good job. You know what I mean? It's a city job or a state job. You got benefits. You get to carry a gun. You know, you're not really trying to get killed. You're not trying to go to war with the people. You're trying to, you know, solve crimes and prevent crimes, but it's really just a good city job to a lot of people, and that's the reality of it. Out here, it seems like they really take their policing seriously. I've never seen an out-of-shape police officer in California, and that's kind of scary. You know what I mean? It's like these guys really work on their bodies and stay in shape. Like, you know, they're real serious about it, you know. I don't know. It's just weird. There's a different kind of thing. And I know my family is, but you know, I got a lot of cops in my family, and I would hate for any harm to ever come to them, just because somebody was anti-police. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just as wrong as being a cop who brutalizes people.
Your mother taught high school for about 18 years. Is she still teaching?
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to the high school where she taught?
Mm-hmm.
Was that rough?
For 3 years, my sophomore through senior year.
Was that odd having your mother be a teacher in your school?
Well, it was odd when you're trying to cut class, yeah. It's hard. You get busted too easily. Actually, I cut a lot considering she was in the building. No, it was cool because my mother is like that teacher that everybody loves. Every student loves Miss Owens. You know, Miss Owens is so cool. You know, you get pregnant, you go talk to Miss Owens. What should I do? You know, somebody pressuring you to have sex. What should I do? You know, any little problem, she has so many students come to her to talk to her, guys and girls, that really respected her opinion and just loved her and just felt like she was just so cool and down to earth and youthful, you know, that they could relate to her, but they could trust her as an adult at the same time to help them with whatever situation they were in. It was cool. You know, I got an extra coat of protection because she was my mom.
What was your mother's reaction when you told her you were dropping out of college and you were going to try to make it as a rapper?
You know what? My mother trusted me. I skipped anyway. So I had a year to buy in my mind. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, look, I jumped the grade, you know, early in life so I could have this year off. I wasn't quitting college. I was just taking a break because I figured, you know, my first record started playing, the album was being worked on, and I said, okay, look, let me take a year off from school and just really dedicate myself to this music career. If it doesn't work, then I go back to school. I'll be 18. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If it works, then I'm going to keep pursuing it and pushing it and trying to build it. And luckily for me, it took off. You know, my first album almost went gold. It sold like over 400,000 copies. Plus the single sold pretty decently, and I toured a lot, and, you know, I had a little lucrative career going on to be, you know, all of 18 years old. And, you know, my mother was, you know, helping me out financially, like, you know, to save my money and put it in the right places. And so it worked.
How old were you when you started calling yourself Latifa?
I was 8.
That's really young to decide you want to change your name. What made you want to do that at such a young age?
I didn't want to change my name. It was kind of a nickname, you know? Everybody did it. I was a follower. Don't you know? No, where I'm from in Newark, it's like a lot of people pick up Muslim names. They don't pick, you know, like Pee-wee necessarily and JoJo and Junie and Junior. And you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, I guess, I don't know, maybe there was like a big surge of Islam in Newark, in the city of Newark, basically, and that which is like the Mecca of the area of Jersey where I'm from. So I think that, like after the riots in 67, probably when, you know, they had some riots in Newark in 67, and then they built all of this public housing they had to, like, you know, give to the, you know, black people in Newark. I think Islam may have been, like, bigger. It had gotten bigger, so we kind of inherited all of these names. Because a lot of people that, you know, lived around me, older people, had Muslim names. I don't even know if they were all Muslims, but they had Muslim names. I wasn't even Muslim. You know, I was a Christian. I wasn't nothing yet, because I really didn't choose till I was about 11. But I just liked the name. I meant delicate and sensitive and kind, and that was me on the inside. Even though I was bigger than most of the girls my age, I was really a sweetie pie on the inside. And so that was really reflective of me. And my brother and I and my cousins all did picked our name, so it just kind of worked like that.
In one of your records, you say, "Latifah's on vacation. I'm just plain old Dana today." Do you often feel that way?
Yeah. I do have to put Latifah on, because you know what? Latifah is me, but then she became bigger than me, you know, because Queen Latifah is known at all these places, and everybody doesn't know what Dana really does, you know, who Dana really is. So I have to give the you know, professional stuff a break and just be me sometimes, you know, and that's when I just jump in my car and drive and go visit my people and all that kind of stuff, you know. That was what that was about. I, you know, just let's just be Dana today.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you. I had a great time.
Queen Latifah recorded in 1999. Her latest CD is called the Dana Owens Album. Our Hip Hop Week concludes tomorrow.